We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. Huh? A little better? I didn't get overtaken by a cough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A little better.
I didn't notice that.
I won't cough. I still may cough. Apologies to it was Dan. I got a call from Dan on the Carl's Place voicemail. I think it was right before he went to carlovt.com/Bart2 buy a golf simulator. But he said that this is the best show of the week with you two cats. Oh. And that me coughing is a bit that is played out. And I said, I will stop the bit of me suffering from bronchitis.
That was the official diagnosis. It was bronchitis.
They tell me acute bronchitis.
How do you get that in the middle of the summer? Or it's not the middle of the summer, but not even cold out. It's not even damp out. It's a warm, dry part of the year.
I don't know. I've been sick all summer.
It's the basement. It's the basement. It's killing you down there.
Mm. Yeah. We worked at a station once I did where there was like, there's just mold on every wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's caked in so bad in the corners that it looks like it's by design.
Oh, my.
So the guy worked with me, we would always hope that, you know, in like 10 years, we would have a problem that we could be able to sue. So we always hope that.
Here's your problem.
So maybe this is it.
Yep. Here's your moment.
Maybe.
Lawyer up
for this.
Yeah. That's more for it. Well, how you guys doing? What's up? What's going on? What's hanging? We got the playoffs coming
up. That's a lazy question.
No, we got the Brewers coming up, and it's kind of just like dicking around until that's official. And you know, Giannis apparently is going to recruit Dame here. Fuck, Jesus.
Ooh.
And
topic forthcoming. Topic. There's a topic coming on this.
But I think the big news is that. The NFL is shaking in their boots because David Bakhtiari did not play. I do wonder, we're recording this on Tuesday morning. If something new comes out, I will intersperse it right here. Actually, I might wait a little bit.
So something new coming out being like the NFL postpones all games until further notice because they can't handle a season without David Bakhtiari playing.
Yeah, like the news finally got to Goodell that, oh, that's why David Bakhtiari didn't play. I just thought it was because he signed a big contract and played every other game.
Wait, which one's David Bakhtiari? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Packers, correct. Yeah.
Is he the one that who was good for a couple contracts? Then, oh, that was TJ Lang. Is he the one that that was Josh Sitton?
Is he the one on 97.3 The Game Sports Talk That Rocks? That's Kuhn, fullback.
That's John Kuhn. Sports Talk That Rocks. Yeah. That's John Kuhn. Like, if you're going to, well, I mean, you have a question, I'm sure, but if you're going to, like, if I was going to say, I don't like how Milwaukee radio works, I will never do Milwaukee radio again. Wouldn't the time to do that be? When I'm on Milwaukee radio, if I'm trying to make a stand,
one would think, yeah.
Not when I'm, it's like, I'm not going to play anymore. You don't play anyway
Yeah.
What kind of protest is this? So I'll lead into that, and hopefully, Paul, we keep it going.
Do you want to do a Bakhtiari question, or do you feel you've said your piece?
I am dying to do more on this.
Matt LaFleur said on Monday, I want to make sure I get his quote right. It's some, it will, hold on. The only problem with doing the phone is I have to go between the notes pad and then come back.
That's fine.
Can you hear me from here?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Matt LaFleur said, it's probably, quote, it's probably going to be like this from here on out. That was in reference to Bakhtiari. So we don't know what that means. And Bart, you can take this, and Grant, you can take this in any turf or non-turf related direction that you want to. But if it's probably going to be like this from here on out, Bakhtiari is still, as proven in week one, valuable enough to put up with this. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
So when LaFleur is saying be like this, that is very vague.
Very vague and intentionally very vague.
And I go back to a lot of people that are, why do you care? Why does it matter? The Packers should be able to keep this a secret. For competitive balance, some people are throwing around like, no. You can't go up there. Someone goes, well, why don't you say this about Belichick? Well, I have. Also, I don't care about them. It's a press conference. The point of the press conference is to give information that is seeked out by a mass audience.
Well, can I interject? It's to give out information that you want to give out. I mean, as the controller of the message, as the head coach, as the team, you want to give out the information you want to give out. And you want to withhold, to the best of your ability, the information you want to keep secret, right?
Okay, my problem is LaFleur has gotten to this point where we don't even do that. It's riddle time.
Yep.
We're doing fucking riddles up there. And one thing I said on Monday night when we were live is I said, they got to this point where they like want you to know the secret that they have. But if you ask about the secret they have, you're wrong for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But you should already know. The whole 48 hours after he didn't play is speculation, and the few grains of information have made it worse. And, you know, if you don't want to tell your story, someone's going to tell it for you.
Yep.
You know, so you got to control the message here. You got to at least, and there's a lot of grace, like you David Bakhtiari, I don't think, contractually or otherwise, I don't think he can be like, I will not be playing on turf games without some sort of penalty from the league or whatever.
Yep.
So the Packers, what I feel like has happened is, and with the Eric Bakhtiari stuff, like that is not nothing.
It can't be nothing.
It's not nothing. You're
100%
right. His brother is tweeting, you fucked around and found out about Bakhtiari's injury. What is probably happening is David Bakhtiari will not say to the Packers, I'm not playing on turf. But he will be very vocal that he doesn't like turf. And the weeks that he has to play on turf, you know, my knee hurts. You know, that will come up. The Packers have nothing. I mean, what can you do? The guy says his knee hurts. I can't do anything. We just got it. Like, I would like the Packers to answer your question. Mm-mm. In 2023, the answer to that question is no. This is, and I hate saying this because there's still like a tiny, tiny part of me that thinks Super Bowl run, but this team, when Elton Jenkins went out, he was 27 years old. He's the oldest guy on that offense. Who was second? I don't know. I think it was Love. Like, probably. They're a very young offense. we're not in a position where we need to, like, he's not Aaron Rodgers here. We're not in a position where we need to change what we do to placate one guy. And it seems like that's what's happening. So that's where I'm at.
Grant, I want you to obviously respond. The only problem with this situation, and I know that Ken Ingles has laid this out, is it's like, well, trade him. You could. Like, I think, to a non-turf team. It's like a Damian Lillard trade. Like, there's only so many teams you can go to. But the trade ramifications, yes, you would get the trade asset. I don't know. I would think you could get a second round pick.
You think that much?
I do think that. I think if you said, hey, you're gonna get, hey, you grass home turf team, not turf, grass home surface team, you're gonna get, there's 15 games left. You're gonna get Bakhtiari for 10 of those 15. I think legitimate Super Bowl contending team with a shaky offensive line would give a second round pick for him. But to be clear, it doesn't help your cap books, as Ken Ingles has laid out. Like, you're still going to incur significant dead cap penalties and other things where you didn't free up the money. So if you're okay with not freeing up the money and still getting the pick, so Bart, if you're literally wanting to take this in a trade his ass direction, okay. I'm not sure if you're going that far, or if you're annoyed, or if you're like annoyed to the point of, please trade him for a second round pick, regardless of the dead cap. Where are you at there?
We saw without him, and for everyone that said, oh, you got it, you rest him now so you have him later. Well, you lost. So, real brilliant. We saw, like, there were times they could have used a better left tackle there. And while they're not a Super Bowl, while they're not a David Bakhtiari away from a Super Bowl, it would be nice when you're developing your new quarterback to make sure he's got some protection and to make sure he can, you know, develop instead of just run around like Kyler Murray. Like, if you want your quarterback to develop, put him in a situation to do it. Don't just be like, no, I mean, you're young, so the whole line sucks. Yeah. That's not going to help anybody.
Bryce Young.
There is a need for Bakhtiari. So LaFleur is in a position where they can't do anything. And I think what frustrates me about the whole situation, I think with Bakhtiari, if you're going to make a stand, make a stand. Like, if you're going to believe in something, don't tweet, have your brother tweet. We don't hear from you. I feel like where this situation bugs me the most is LaFleur's getting run over again by one of his players and can't do anything to stop it. And we've just seen this now. Yep. Like, the LaFleur, the issues that I have with LaFleur are the same issues I had 4 years ago. That's not good.
Yep. Yep. Grant, now let me just remind the group here. David Bakhtiari was fantastic in week one. Mm-hmm. Undeniably great. The offensive line, I was reading Andy Herman's film analysis grades. The offensive line was a net negative, like a minus one as a group. They were not good enough on the offensive line. So I just want to throw that in as nuggets as I reset it for Grant and say, Grant, David Bakhtiari, if it's, quote, probably going to be like this from here on out, is still good enough to put up with it. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Well, if it's 50% of the games, which is what he's played so far, if you can guarantee me that he's going to play 14 of 17 games, I'm in. There's a lot of utility for David Bakhtiari on this team this year, even though they're not contending for a Super Bowl and even though they don't need a veteran, you know, $40 million a year or whatever his cap and dead cap hit, whatever it all combines to, because he can help bring along some of the younger linemen and because he can help protect Jordan Love and give him a better environment to learn. And even if when the Packers ideally are contending in a year or two or three, even if David Bakhtiari is not on the team anymore, that's fine. He can still be here now. It's not like you're not allowed to have any good players or any older players. I just wonder at what amount of missed games does it become more of a hassle than it is a luxury? You know what I mean? And yeah. Someone could watch us back. Like, I'm well aware this could age really stupidly. Like, he could play the next six games and look awesome. And it's like, oh, remember in week two when we completely overreacted? So that could totally happen. I just wonder if Bakhtiari plays 50% of the games, and if this is a truly Willy Wony situation every week. Does it become more of a hassle shuffling around the O-line? You already don't have him in practice. You're trying to figure out the way to align the O-line where maybe not everyone's in their best spot. Like, look at it this way. If they know David Bakhtiari is not going to be there, if he didn't play the rest of the year, would their left tackle be Caleb Jones or Rashid Walker? Or would they move Zach Tom over there and would they completely? So,
well, like, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not a coach. I'm not a player. I would love to talk to someone about, hey, what's it like to not have your left tackle in practice every day? And what's it like for these younger guys to not really know if they are going to need to play? And if they do play, where they're going to play? I wonder where that line is, because I feel like there's a threshold of, well, if he only plays this much, then it's more a hassle than it is an actual luxury. So if he plays 14 of the 17 games, say, he's totally worth it. But I think there is a point where it's no longer worth it.
Well, I think when he, I'm going to say, inevitably misses, I think they have, what, 4 more turf games? Is that right?
Vegas, Detroit, Minnesota, and New York. Yeah.
When he inevitably misses one of those next upcoming turf games, and then there's no comment, officially comment, we have to get our work through Eric Bakhtiari. Like, that's, I don't know. Like, it's a problem, right? And I think after David Bakhtiari had the great game in week 1, and he did some fun things, right? Like, he did the thing in the end zone where he laid there and did a pose, and he did the thing where I couldn't tell was on the, when the snap was about to go off, he did the middle finger or he did some kind of wave to the crowd, and he published all of this and was like living it up. He knows what's happening in Packersverse. Like, he knows the conversation that's happening. When it was a good thing to talk about, like, he was all about it. And now the fact that he's not commenting, this is not a social media guy. This is not a guy who's not social media savvy. He's very social media savvy. So the only thing that I would conclude is that, Bart, to your earlier point, from a unionized perspective, from a just a contract perspective, he can't say what he wants to say, which is, I'm not playing on turf. And I don't know if that's true. Like, but I heard some people say earlier this week, people who I really like and respect who talk about Packers, say that, like, how basically, and I'll slightly exaggerate what they were saying, but, like, how dare we make guesses about the situation? Like,
they're encouraging us to.
Exactly.
Like, shouldn't we wait for David Bakhtiari to make a comment?
Oh.
Like, well, he's had every opportunity to do so. He has chosen not to, and thus you can't be, like, wagging your finger at people who are going to jump to conclusions. So
if he says something after we record, I would insert it now.
Either, and even if that were true, and even if that happens, which I think it's going to, it'll happen this week. David Bakhtiari likes, you know, he does his weekly discussions with the media. Probably on Wednesday he'll do that. Unless he's on Pat McAfee Tuesdays now. But he will probably talk here at some point publicly. But either way, the fact that Matt LaFleur had to have this annoyed Monday press conference, all because of, like, Matt LaFleur was pissed having to talk about it. And, you know, you can say, like, well, that's because I heard, you know, I'll just say, like, Aaron Nagler, who I think is awesome, said that Matt LaFleur was understandably annoyed because he had to take 6 questions about this between Sunday and Monday. 6 questions. And that's a lot of questions and whatever. Like, well, yeah, it's one of your highest paid, I think your highest paid player, who has this vocal stance about a playing surface, who after just having, like, veterans rest practice days off, was unavailable on a week 2 game. Like, it's worth 6 questions. Like, if I was still on the beat, every one of those 6 questions, I mean, I didn't hear all 6 of them, but, like, that's the correct number. Like, there should be a healthy number of questions about this.
Which, by the way, I was thinking about this on my drive home last night, listening to the Matt Schneidman show, which I sometimes enjoy because Hunter Baumgart, our guy, was filling in for co-host Doug Russell. And I was thinking about this on my drive home. I once watched Craig Counsell spend over 2 months answering the same Josh Hader question at least once a day. Where it's like, hey, why don't you pitch Josh from behind? Why don't you pitch him when you're trailing? And Counsell every day was like, we're doing this again. Never once really, like, he would get frustrated, you can tell. But it's just another reminder, and I feel like I bring this up a lot, it's just another reminder that these football coaches could could never handle the media responsibilities that we force baseball managers to deal with. It's just like, oh, you had to ask a couple questions in the post game, and then you had to answer a couple on Monday. Sorry, I guess. Like, I don't feel that bad. Some people have it way worse with media.
Wendell Ferreira, who does stuff for Cheesehead TV a little bit, says Bakhtiari missing games because of an injury he suffered in 2020. The Packers need an alternative, to be honest. I mean, again, even if this is just, hey, you know, something flared up. This was an injury that happened 3 years ago.
Coming up on 3 years would be this January, right? Like, so like 32 months ago. Yeah.
And, you know, I said this on my show on Monday, and this is a little bit of residual frustration from what happened with Rodgers the last couple of years. If it comes time where the Packers have to be like, dude, we need you to play. Like, it's been 3 years. I don't know if you don't like turf or what's going on here, but we need you to play. We've given you all this money. And Bakhtiari doesn't like that. I think I'm going to side with the Packers because for the last 4 years, I've done a lot of apologizing for the Packers. Well, they're not the nicest of veterans, and they didn't keep Rodgers friends. It's like, no, the Packers are really good at what they do, and they've been as successful as any NFL franchise, not the Patriots, for the last 20 years. And I just feel like they take so many slings and arrows from so many different people. And why? Rodgers treated this place like he was on the Arizona Cardinals the last couple of years. It's like, sorry, you had a great O-line and amazing number one wide receivers for basically your whole career. And now with Bakhtiari, it's like, dude, sorry, they broke their contract kind of mold to give you your third deal and $92 million for you to play 13 games in 3 years. Like, I'm not going to feel bad. I'm done apologizing for my team. Sorry.
Which, by the way, is they have further proved why they will never give a third contract to an offensive lineman again. So enjoy this, you know, second contract Packers lineman of the future, but you're not getting a third one.
Do you think that contract was more about Bakhtiari being an exception and being really good and being the left tackle, or do you think it was more about not letting Rodgers' guy go? Personally, Rodgers wouldn't want to see his teammate and friend go, or we're trying to go all in with Rodgers. And he also, because there's more than one angle through Rodgers to keep him. I don't know. I have so many questions about the last 5 years. I hope Wildy writes a banger of a book one day. I will definitely read it right when it comes out.
I got this tweet here, again, based on one of my Bakhtiari things. It just came in. Media people making mountains of molehills for content. Like, I think maybe the average Packer fan doesn't care about this. Maybe the average Packer fan just, why are they talking about Bakhtiari? He didn't play. Big deal. Maybe they don't care.
It's a little bit of a big deal. I don't know.
It's definitely a deal.
Also, the mountain of the molehill thing. The Packers could have squashed this on Sunday. Matt LaFleur could have. He just, in his postgame press conference, his knee flared up. It sucks. He's frustrated. We're all frustrated. He wanted to go today. He should be back on track. We've dealt with this before. We hope to get him back soon. Just could have said that. Even lied about it.
You know what you want? Like, you want to know exactly what would have stopped the six questions that came up between Sunday and Monday? That.
Yeah. And it could have been a lie. You could have lied. You're not under oath. Like, this isn't a court of law. Just say his knee flared up. Just say that. Because that's all we wanted to hear. And a non-answer combined with his brother's tweet. It's like, and, you know, Bakhtiari, a little bit odd. And Rodgers just got hurt, his buddy, last Monday, like less than a week ago. So I think it's completely fair to make a mountain out of this molehill.
It's not a molehill, but that's the thing. It's not a molehill. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Between Bakhtiari having a great week one and Bakhtiari not playing week two, it wasn't like, okay, NFL left tackle makes social media post about turf. The NFLPA opened like a whole thing about the Rodgers injury and what that means for turf and using Bakhtiari's tweets as the examples and all of the studies and data that, like, this was a, forget even a Packers story, this was an NFL story.
This is definitely a story. It just seems like guys like this, that they don't care.
We just spent 20 minutes on it, and I feel like we could do more.
Not a story. Right. Now, the only thing I'm worried about is something happens.
After, right. Yeah. But honestly, the much of this will remain relevant. Because
And this is a good conversation, so if something happens, you just need to stick it here.
You've had three openings now. All right.
But I am going to stick here. Paul, if you can.
Yep, go.
Oh, never mind. is I want to remind you. Now, I can't. I don't have a product that can cure Bakhtiari's knee. But if you are a little stressed out about what's happening in Green Bay at 1265, may I suggest a gummy or two? Happy Place Hemp. The promo code is BART. At Happy Place Hemp, you get 25% off every order when you use the promo code BART. Now, if you shop there before and you shop there again, and it's been a while, you'll notice the prices are a little bit lower. That's because they found a way to make more and make it more affordable. And they still allow us to use the code. The code didn't go anywhere. Unlimited uses of said code. There's some of you that have used this code like once a month for the last year, 12 times. What other place on earth lets you use a code 12 times? And sometimes we change up the code and make it sexy. And we got one of that coming down the pipe. But for now, all the gummies, all the tinctures, everything you need, Happy Place Hemp, promo code BART, 25% off, happyplacehemp.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What I know, it's by the time this airs, like, I don't want to be too, you know, retro looking backward, but we can make this quick. The one thing I just want to ask, Bakhtiari was out, Elgton Jenkins missed most of the game, Aaron Jones was out, Christian Watson was out, and the Packers still should have and almost did win. In the big picture of this thing, now that you've had a couple of days to let it simmer, the fact that they almost went on the road and won, despite arguably like four of their five most important offensive players missing the entire or most of, in Elgton Jenkins' case, of the game, you're removed enough from Sunday's, you know, moment to say that that's still something that is worth being positive about looking forward.
I was there on Sunday. It was a really frustrating loss, but it was basically the same game as week one when you think about it. The Packers were just without a couple of their best players on offense, and Atlanta's better than Chicago. I don't think they're way better, but I think they're better. They're certainly more organized. They have a stronger identity, and they know what they're doing. I don't know if that makes them, you know, a lot more talented, but they're organized, which goes a long way. Matt LaFleur had a gaffe in both games. Jordan Love made a lot of great throws in both games, and I think the defense was well-positioned in both games. They made plays in week one. They didn't in week two. So I think a lot of the things we were happy about last week, they transferred over, and we saw them again in week two. It just didn't result in a win. I think if Aaron Jones plays, everyone else could miss a game. I think if Aaron Jones plays, they win. They were not capable of getting a yard or two when they needed it, and I think even an average running back would have been able to. And right now, A.J. Dillon is not even average. So, yeah, and the young guys look awesome, Paul. I love Jaden Reed. I love Wicks, who is a guy I didn't pay enough attention to in camp. Like, a lot of these young pieces on offense look really exciting. The problem is they're going to struggle to win if they don't have a veteran sprinkled throughout, and they didn't have those veterans sprinkled throughout on Sunday. So, definitely a positive. I don't want to be that guy on Monday and say we should be happy because we lost, but
right,
there's definitely value, 100%.
Bart, on that?
Now I'm getting – okay, I gotta read you these texts I'm getting.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. Someone is texting me. Okay, as far as your question, if this is how I was with the Bucks, remember when they were like I wanted them to play close games so they could experience having to go through that. So come playoff time, like, I guess the experience is worth it. You know, Giannis once told me there's no such thing as failure. Okay.
He has not said that to the Bucks front office this offseason. He has said there is failure and there is success, and I had better see success or bye-bye.
There's failure for them. If you guys aren't doing enough, not for me.
For Giannis, it's just a journey. Yeah,
Giannis is on a journey. Everyone else is.
They'll learn from this. They're going to learn from this.
Well, we hope. Yeah, I want LaFleur mostly to learn from it.
They had a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost. That, I don't care what silver linings you can take away. You're not going to get me to turn around and give a pat on the back to someone who blows a 12-point lead in that fashion.
Right.
No back patting.
Right.
Nothing like that.
Yep. When they had a 24-12 lead, and I very much expected the Packers to win, I just was like, wow, they've done this without Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones, Christian Watson.
This was they were 2-0 to me. I did not.
Right.
I did not understand how they lost.
That was taken from us. We had all filed mentally that game is a win. We had kind of wrapped our arms around it, and then it got pulled away from us, which I think made it a lot worse.
Well, people aren't like, there's this whole, oh God, this has been a terrible week. There's this whole like, oh, why are you? It's not that we don't understand 7, 8, 9. We don't know. We still don't know what this team's going to be. But we had a win, and then it was not there anymore. It's not, we went into the game. Are we going to win? Or are we going to lose? And if we're that way and then we lose, it's like, you know, if we lose 24-12, it's like, yeah, but we were winning.
Right.
And we had it won. And then it didn't happen. So,
and I think part of it too is that, like, when you have, okay, I know this is an annoying thing to say when you're saying like, well, the Falcons didn't come back and win the game. The Packers blew the game. Like, that's nuanced and that's hard to really say, but like, I don't, and also I think it helps if it's like the Packers were beat by a better team. I didn't think either of those things were true. Like, it wasn't like Atlanta all of a sudden did a bunch of incredible things. It was like a blunderous fourth quarter. And I think I saw it was the first double digit fourth quarter blown lead since the Seattle NFC Championship game 8, 9 years ago. Like, it's hard to blow a double-digit game in 15 minutes.
I would argue this was worse.
Well, the stakes were less.
It had a lot of the same pieces. Like, Darnell Savage looked like Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and Quay Walker had the interception go off his face mask like Brandon Bostic. And we were talking about this show on my show on Monday. Like, a couple of callers kept pointing out things, and as the show went on, we're like, holy balls. Like, it is the
2014. But the NFC Championship game, obviously I was kidding, it was bigger stakes, but also there were still more of those things. Like, this game might have had like 8 or 9 things. That game had at least 20.
Yeah.
Or if one thing changed.
I was watching Aaron Nagler's post-game chat, and I really like Nagler too, Paul. And I thought we were a little overdramatic about this loss. I know it's because we thought we had a win, and then it was taken away from us, and that's tough. But I was just watching some post-games, and it's like catastrophe, meltdown. It's like, well, you know, Atlanta got rolling on offense and the Packers had a couple bad possessions. It's not a nuclear meltdown. It's not like a jet airliner crashed and we're like, what happened? It's just a fourth quarter where nothing went right. I don't think it's that bad.
I think the problem is too, I think we all individually, and I think it was Tom on Twitter who said he started the game around 1:30 and was wondering if he was in front of or behind me on DVR. We were about at the same point, Tom. So I was not watching it live. I assume the Twitter reaction during the, you know, the botched operation of the field goal in the first drive, where it was like, you know, 51-yard field goal turns into a 56. And this is another one of those like on message things where like LaFleur said, yeah, 56 was too far for Anders Carlson. And then it's like, bro, he hit a 57 outdoors a week ago. It's another one of those, like, you're making things worse for yourself, Matt. But anyway, what the loss did, if they would have won that game by 12, we would have kind of, like, talked about the blunderous thing in the first quarter with the you know, and LaFleur kind of said, oh, well, they were really, like, taking it easy, and they didn't line up quickly enough. It seemed like there was a Wednesday practice lining up for a field goal. Like, it was still on the floor. These are a rookie kicker and a young holder, and it's just another one of those. So I think part of the frustration with the loss in the moment was like, you could then go back to that first quarter thing, which was a disaster and a really honestly inexcusable thing. And I know, Bart, I listened to this in your post-game show that I listened to on Monday, which was just like, Matt LaFleur needs a day. He needs a nice sleep to think about what the right thing to do is. Those split second, like, I need to know in the next 6 seconds if I'm calling a timeout, if I'm going to bring out the punch.
He needs the remote from Click.
Oh, don't mention that movie. That movie gave me a – okay.
The movie's great.
It broke my brain. I had a full-blown panic attack after that movie. Let's not talk about Click.
Is it just Click or is it like all Adam Sandler movies?
Click, really.
You didn't feel that way after Murder Mystery 2? Or Don't Forget the Zohan or whatever?
Don't mess with the Zohan. No, I was okay after the Zohan movie. But I'm going to – Bart, I don't. Did you say like I do think there was some really ridiculous stuff. You're up by 12 in the fourth quarter. There's some really gross stuff, but I'm still definitely with Grant. Like, it's you almost won on the road. You should have won on the road with almost all of your key offensive players, sans Jordan Love, with AJ Dillon as your lead back, who was once again terrible. And I know, like, it feels like now it's like opportunistic to pile on AJ Dillon, but like. It just, I don't want that to be the situation, but
I feel like we've been there.
But I'm saying now it's like there were the supporters and now they've jumped on. So there's like no one left. It seems like,
I'll defend AJ Dillon. Like he might not have been a great runner on third down or fourth down. And he might not have been able to pick up those tough yards, but give him credit. He also dove into the back of Elgton Jenkins' leg and almost busted his MCL. So I don't know. I feel like we're being a little hard on AJ Dillon after Sunday's game. It felt like during the game, everyone was after AJ Dillon. And then post game, it was Joe Barry. And then Monday, it was David Bakhtiari. Like everyone kind of like migrated from person to person to thing to thing. Because on Monday, we're like, well, at least AJ Dillon played. Turf or no turf.
So here's the text I got from a friend. I listened to your podcast, agree with most of the things you said. Why is Dillon even in the league? You could go out there and fall and be as successful. All right. But Love, I don't know, Bart. I wouldn't say he was good. I would say he is fine. I mean, dude can't throw the ball over 20 yards. What? Are we just going to do checkdowns the whole year?
Who is this friend, and has he not seen the deep balls that Jordan Love has thrown?
It is a she.
Wow.
And I guess she has not.
Mm.
And she should know better.
She should know better. That brings me a perfect transition into the Jordan Love question that I didn't ask last week that I'm going to ask this week.
Ooh.
And by the way, we are not leaving this podcast without some Bucks talk. So...
Well, we're also not leaving without a reminder from the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Because it's getting dark. It's going to start to get dark. Where do you go during this? It's going to start to get dark.
I go look at my questions because I'm using my phone.
His notes app, probably.
Paul took his video off on the Dan Chaney YouTube stream. I thought you were silent protesting the Wisconsin Bike Fed.
I'm going. When I'm on my phone, I have to go to the notes pad and it takes me away. Go ahead.
You guys are pro little children getting their balls in the street.
I don't consent to this. Oh, geez.
No, Wisconsin Bike Fed. They're great. I want to thank Jake and everybody over there. Check out more wisconsinbikefed.org. So the message is, as it is getting darker earlier, this is a great time to pay more attention. But this is not just a late September, October problem. I mean, I really have felt like I have branched where I feel like my personality was one. And then the more that I drive, it splits one way. And then the more that I'm not in a car, it splits the other. Because when I am walking, I am very cognizant of all the things that you should be. These cars don't have their lights on. You got to slow down, look around. When I'm in a car, though, I do revert back to, these roads were made for me. I will go as fast as I want. I will go through red lights when I choose. I use red lights as stop signs.
So does the rest of the city of Milwaukee.
I don't ever, ever, ever stop at the red light getting on to the highway. That's a waste. So but there I am. I'm only thinking me, me, me. And so their simple message is, hey, there's other people, not cars. Look out for them. Check out more, wisconsinbikefed.org. Also, a reminder, Splash Sports Week 3 pool is live. Get your pick'ems in for Week 3. Gene won Week 1. I got to check who won Week 2. Splashsports.com/Winkler. Who won Week 2 here? T. James Moss and Jerry W. Is that Windish?
Jerry, the father of Ty Windish.
Not the father. He is not the father. But they both tied with 12 picks and brought in a cool 125 on a $5 entry. So splashsports.com/Winkler. Paul?
By the way, we're going to do one more Packers, and then we're going to do Bucks. And I want you to know that I consulted with Ty Windish for the Bucks question.
Son of Jerry. Perfect.
This is well researched, but here, this is the question that I held last week, and I think I'm going to ask it like at least once a month, because it's going to be relevant based on. And yes, my video went away, so I can read this. Last week, after Week 1, Ryan Wood was having a conversation with someone on Twitter about Jordan Love being, as Ryan Wood did it, like capital T, the capital G guy, the guy. And Ryan Wood kept saying, like, you know, are we sure Jordan Love is the guy, capital T, capital G, the guy? And so I want to just read this exactly how he had it. Ryan Wood asked, so you're ready to extend Jordan Love? And again, this is hypothetical because, you know, we have there's a contract next year for Jordan Love, but this is the decision you're going to face eventually if you're Brian Gutekunst. Ryan Wood asked, so you're ready to extend Jordan Love 5 years, $200 million today? Because at minimum, that's what being the guy looks like. Jordan Love might be him. His debut could not have gone any better. He might not be him. There are 16 games left this season. Now there's 15. And Ryan Wood said, I know that I don't know the answer to that yet, meaning being the guy or not. You have, like, if it was contract decision time, just like it was a year ago today for, like, Daniel Jones, who ended up getting the guy money, probably regrettably so far for the Giants. If you had to make that decision today, giving Jordan Love the guy money, five-year, $200 million, you're ready to give Jordan Love the guy quarterback money.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-mm. No.
I think it's mm-mm.
No. Yeah. Are you fucking new here?
What? You asked a question. You asked yes or no, right?
Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Oh.
Sorry.
I would say mm-mm. So, like today, you're going to want more of a sample size before you see a quarterback, you know, four starts, give him $200 million.
Yeah.
I have to be in line with the way that I feel about this for other teams, where I think that there's only seven guys that are franchise quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say them again. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, and Hurts. Okay. And maybe Dak can be in there. And when I say this, it's because I look at those teams. And if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, would I trade Trevor Lawrence for any of those guys? I wouldn't.
Other than Mahomes.
Other than Mahomes.
That's the point, yeah.
But if I'm San Diego, oh, Jesus, wow. If I'm the Chargers, I'm not trading Herbert. So there's only a handful of these guys that are on teams right now. If you ask the Packers, like, well, and we talked about this a little, but if you looked at the teams on Monday night, you might rather have Jordan Love than any of those teams that played Monday night. But would you rather have him than Herbert, Allen, Burrow? No. You would make the trade for those guys. And then what happens is there's only a fourth of the league is going to be those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So then teams get into a position of we either have that guy or we make a decision and pay the 10 to 16 ranked guy like one of those guys because we don't want to start over, or we start over. I don't think the Packers
think.
I don't know. I think Jordan Love is good. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't know that he ever becomes a top seven. And if he doesn't ever become a top seven, the Packers should always be at least wondering about what else there is.
So from afar, analyzing the New York Giants, Bart, they should have given Daniel Jones that contract. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
The Giants?
Mm-hmm. For Daniel Jones this past offseason. They gave Daniel Jones the guy money.
So then it gets hard. I don't know.
They should have tagged him and let Saquon go, or I don't know. Figured out something else with Saquon. They should have used
him. Because if you're giving, you have a guy. He's not a top eight guy.
Not the guy, a guy.
Yeah, he's top. Like Daniel Jones, he had a great comeback the other day.
He's whatever. A guy. He's just not the guy. We think. Mm-hmm.
If you're making the decision of we're going to pay this guy who's not the guy like the guy, or we're going to reset. And I don't think you get into that point where the Giants are like, hey, we won nine whatever games last year. We're not just going to let Daniel Jones walk. So then they commit for the next 4 years, and it's you start to get in that cycle. That's why it was so great that the Packers have been in whatever they've been doing. Man, my friend is really blowing me up about how Love is not good. I didn't say he was bad. I said he was fine and needs to work his way up to good. Why can't we be there?
I think we're at good. We're at good.
So many people have watched 2 weeks of Rodgers or Love thinking he needs to be Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we at this point? Why can't we look at a quarterback? Why can't we look at a quarterback and say, he led us to a win. He looked pretty good. Week two, he was playing well. Missed this throw. You know, that drive was no good. Weird situation on the snap. But he's got six touchdowns, no picks.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we're like, oh, Jordan Love, worst completion percentage in the league. Why are we doing that? Why are we trying to put we got a year with this guy. Let it be.
There's also things like, and I know this happens for every team, if you watch every snap of every game, but like that 45-yard pass interference play to open the game, that doesn't go on Jordan Love's stats, but that's a deep throw to your friend's point of like, oh, can he throw the deep ball? Well, I'm sorry that he didn't get to have a one-for-one for 45 yards to start the game, but he still got the 45 yards, and it's because he can throw the deep ball and had the play design set up by Matt LaFleur. I would say, like, I think the Giants, and this is what I'm trying to remind myself, like, I think the Giants made a mistake paying Daniel Jones. As a non-New York Giants fan, I would have said, go back to the well. Try again. Joe, go try to find the guy rather than paying a guy like the guy. But then I isolate it to the Packers and I say, I think Jordan Love and Daniel Jones right now are probably, on the same tier. Is that feel?
But they're very different quarterbacks.
No, they're very different quarterbacks. But like, it's not like it's not like we're talking about the 10th best quarterback and the 25th best starting quarterback, right? Like they're in the same range, given they're different. Well, but then I wanted to say like my answer was, pay him like the guy. But then that seems hypocritical because I don't think Daniel Jones should have. And so I don't know, Grant you're ready to anoint Jordan Love the guy contractually, taking up that percent of the salary cap, all of those things.
Right now, but we get the year, so we don't have to do it right now.
Oh, absolutely, this kind of I want to do this topic maybe like once a month as just like a check,
checking in.
Yeah.
Well, the Daniel Jones comp is interesting because they had 3 years of evidence.
Right.
And most of it would have told them that he's not the guy because he was addicted to throwing picks and fumbling. And then the year where he was actually okay, he did like nothing. Like they didn't let him throw. They didn't let him do anything. So the Packers aren't going to have the luxury of 3 years with Jordan Love, but they've had him in the building for 3 years. And that has to count for something, how comfortable they are investing in a guy. They have had experiences personally and with him as a teammate. So I guess that factors in. But here's another thing, Paul, and maybe this is a cop-out answer. The best quarterback in the NFC is Jalen Hurts? Okay. He hasn't looked amazing throwing the deep ball the first 2 weeks. That offense has looked clunky. Like the competition in this conference to be a top quarterback is, it's not a difficult one at all. Right. It's not tough. So I don't think we necessarily need to compare him to Mahomes and Allen and all those guys. A lot of those guys are in the AFC, where the Packers, and Tony from Texas brought this up on my show. I thought it was a great point. The AFC's got a lot of great quarterbacks, and the NFC has a handful of really good teams. Mm-hmm. Like the Cowboys, the Niners, and the Eagles might be the three best rosters in football with fine quarterbacks. And then there's teams in the AFC who have supernova quarterbacks, but the teams, you know, leave a little bit to be desired. I think that's an interesting comparison from one conference to another. Let's watch how this season plays out with Jordan Love. I think there's been so much good the first 2 weeks. I want to see what little improvements he makes, how teammates react to him, how coaches react to him. And, you know, if we get to the end of the year and they give him a contract, I think there's way worse options. And I don't think it's really comparable to Daniel Jones, because we have a lot more evidence that he was not the guy.
I texted you guys this on Monday night, but it's something Bart said a few minutes ago. I think Jordan Love has had a better two games than anything I saw from those four Monday Night Football quarterbacks. Derek Carr, really? Bryce Young, help me out here. I just
Kenny Pickett,
who's looked not good at all, and Deshaun Watson, who's, you know, it seems like he's never going to re-enter that. Mahomes or Watson, who's the 1A, who's the 1B? Like that, it looks like, you know,
he's thankful that Russell Wilson exists. He is thrilled Russell Wilson and that contract exists in Denver, because otherwise, and he's thrilled that for the most part, we don't give a damn about the Cleveland Browns.
But like, you know, if you were to say all those contracts are the same and you're starting your franchise, you get Jordan Love, Derek Carr, Deshaun Watson,
Kenny Pickett. I take Love, totally, 100%.
I would take, I mean, I don't think, it's not like I wouldn't have to, like, oh, it's obviously Jordan Love. It's not obviously Jordan Love. If all those guys were like same contractually, and it's not a slam dunk that it's Love, but I think it's Jordan Love. I would take him over Pickett.
Well, I mean, my tweet that everybody wanted to jump on and use me for engagement.
Derek Carr is not good, and we're about to see that firsthand.
Thank you. They're
2-0.
My whole point of the thing the other day was, you came into the season, whatever. We're worried about Jordan Love. You take Jordan. Jordan Love's. He's going to play. There's other things to worry about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But that's not what you. That's very different from what you actually.
Well, yeah, because Grant, when I tweeted, I used Twitter just like every other godforsaken human on this fucking planet. Instead of punching a pillow like we used to do in the good old days to let out our emotions, we put our words into the world. And if you're reading my tweet that the Packers are horrendous at 3:30, you're like, yeah, that sucked. But if you're reading it the next day, when you can be all like suit and tie about it and be like, is this guy trying to be the next Blue Michaels? I'm up here and thinking about this. And look at this tweet that he wrote. Of course it looks dumb.
Yeah. The Bart tweets have a shelf life is what you're saying.
I tweet in the moment, and just like these shows, I talk in the moment. We're talking in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go back and listen to these shows, fine. But we are talking about things that are happening in the here and now,
mm-hmm. live and local.
And like you said, Grant, earlier, you might look back and whatever, you know, it might not age well. We're not here to age well.
Yeah,
we're not here to age well.
But that doesn't mean this conversation is dumb. You know, we're having it now. It might be dumb to do this in 6 weeks.
But if a meteor is coming to Earth and you have 6 weeks, you have a conversation about what do we want to do with the rest of our lives? And then when it's 2 days later or 2 days before the meteor hits, then you like, is there any last chance for us to survive? You're not having the conversation, what do we want to do with the rest of our lives? But that was a fine conversation to have earlier.
You're describing the plot of that movie. Don't Look Up.
Good film. Good film.
Depressing as all hell, but
quite. Yes. Yes.
All right. Here's our intermission. I like to ask Bart about mature and vase and other words, envelope. This week's intermission is one that I posted on Twitter years ago when I first heard it said a different way than how I would have said it, but it was hard to communicate it on Twitter. So here's the verbal version. I'm going to go off the video so I can read it exactly the way that it was said. Okay. There's a group of people waiting for a buffet. Those people are in line or online, or in the line or on the line.
Well, they are the line.
No, go with me here, though.
You don't sit in traffic. You are traffic.
Oh, did you read that story in The Atlantic yesterday or wherever the fuck I saw that?
Yeah, I've said that before. On the line, I've never heard of that. What the fuck? Why are you on the line?
Larry
How
David.
Can you be on the line? You're in line.
Larry David said you're online.
Larry David was wrong about this. He was correct about getting seconds and not needing to wait in line to just grab some potatoes, but he's wrong about the verbiage of this.
Have you thought this about Larry David? You seem ready for this, Grant.
No, he said you're online.
And multiple times. Like he was like this is and he wasn't like wasn't like one of his bits. He just that was how he thinks of it. He thinks of
you're
it
in line.
You're on the line, you're online. You're not in the line or in line. You're on the line or you're online for the buffet or for the whatever.
I'm in line for the buffet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in line.
That I mean, like, I'm questioning everything I trust about Larry David because how could someone say something so silly?
Oh, I couldn't.
Well, he advertised crypto by saying crypto would fail. So he really did well on that one.
Yes. All right. I do want to have. I want to have a relevant Bucks, Giannis, sorry, Grant, yes, Damian Lillard trade.
That's fine.
The reason I'm doing this is because I think there are some really, well, there are a handful of really smart NBA people nationally. And the leader of that group, for me, is Zach Lowe. Zach Lowe is never, in my opinion, I've never seen him do clickbait. I've never felt that he's done something to grab a headline. That's just not his. That's not his deal. So my face is going to go away here for a second while I get exactly the way that Zach Lowe talked about this. Zach Lowe, my gut, and this was him saying this in his podcast, the Lowe Post. My gut says if this season goes poorly, the Bucks will not bury their head in the sand and will trade Giannis. This wasn't a headline. This wasn't a clickbait. Like, I mean, we all have these people, right? These people who we trust, who we put our stock into. And for me, Zach Lowe is the leader of that group in the NBA. So I hear that. I'm like, whoa. Now, I mentioned Ty Windisch earlier, who I messaged with a handful of times. And thank you, Ty, for doing that to help gut check this with me. Ty has said on several occasions that next offseason, because of the way this draft pick thing works, the Bucks will actually have three first-round picks that they can trade next year, next offseason. The question is whether or not, like, they can get there or not. So, I'm going to kind of give you a two-parter, but I'm going to start with this one. Giannis's recent comments, paired with the availability of Damian Lillard, paired with, like, you know, whether you want to take Zach Lowe as having a good prognostication for next offseason that, you know, the Bucks are not going to let, you know, like, Grant, we've talked about like Corbin Burns. Do you just let him run his entire contract and then walk for nothing? Or do you trade? Like, there's again, Zach Lowe, which carries a lot of weight for me, is saying like they will not just let him walk for nothing. They'll recoup the value next offseason if this season goes poorly, which maybe it won't. Maybe they'll win a championship. Anyway, let's start with this question. The Bucks should go. There's clearly a message being sent by Giannis, and the Bucks should go splashy to the best of their ability. And, of course, the front office knows more than we do. Is Giannis talking about Damian Lillard? I don't know. But let's say he is. You can do Drew Holiday, Marjon Beauchamp, and thank you again, Ty Windisch. Marjon Beauchamp, Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday would go to a third team. Essentially, you'd be giving up three first-round picks, two of those coming from Drew, Beauchamp, and then one of Bobby or Pat or Grayson, plus a whole bunch of seconds for Damian Lillard. That's the example I'm going to use, but like, if you were the front office, you think the Bucks should go with a big splash to appease Giannis and kind of change this narrative and clearly give Giannis the thing that he's trying to vocalize that he needs, that he wants. So let me start there, mm-hmm or mm-mm, to go do that and or at least aggressively pursue that.
Let me I don't know, people, Giannis had said this. I don't know if you guys heard this one. He said a lot of people say they're going to stay on a different team and decide to move to a different team. But you guys got to remember, a guy might want to stay on a team, but the team doesn't do the right things and the right move for the player to become great. He said that in 2017. Signed a contract.
Well,
here it is. I want the Bucks to build a winning culture. So far, we've been doing that. If this lasts, there's no other place I want to be. But if we're underperforming in the NBA next year, deciding whether to sign becomes a lot more difficult. That was 2019. Giannis needs to stop talking about this, and the Bucks should just ignore it.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't disagree more.
The Bucks are clearly set up for a last run with this group, a very good group. They got a new head coach to try to fix the problems. And it's a group that has won a championship. They've been favorites to do the same thing the last 2 years, but there has been injury. I think what you guys aren't thinking about is, and this, I have all my eyes open the other day. They all opened the other day. I was a panic, whatever. What do we do? I see what's going on. Giannis was in the last, he was in the home stretch before he became a real dad, a girl dad. Giannis was having parent brain. There's a lot of stress going on. He's trying to think about his future. He's trying to think about his little baby girl. He's got all this stuff going on. He does a favor to a friend on a podcast. He talks. He gives him the clip. Giannis is not sending a message. If Giannis wanted Damian Lillard, he would call John Horst and say, get Damian Lillard.
He's not
going through all these. What he's telling the Bucks. If he's telling the Bucks anything, it's, hey, if this doesn't work this year, I'm not doing it another year. I don't think he's saying, go get Dame now. Damian Lillard, and I don't care if this doesn't hold up, guy ain't going to be a Buck. Let's cool it with that shit. He ain't going to be a Buck. The Bucks are going to be fine. They're going to have the team that they have. They're going to win a lot of games, maybe the championship, because they're good enough to do that. Nobody in the – who in the East is going to compete with them? Well, if Dame goes to Miami – Dame goes to Miami. Fuck that. They ain't going to be good. All the Bucks fans like to do is worry about the other teams. But if those teams were your teams, you'd say we suck.
Dame is old, and he's very good, but he's old and an injury risk, which has been the problem.
I'd rather have Drew, Bobby, all these guys in 50 games of Dame.
Exactly, you want
NBA's David Bakhtiari? More like Damon Bakhtiari. He's going to play half the goddamn games for you. Damon Bakhtiari.
So we've talked about this. First of all, on Dame, because I think you'd be reshuffling the deck to get a star player, but you'd lose depth. And that star player, it's not like you're getting a star player in his prime who's a better injury bet. You're getting more of the same, except you're putting more of your eggs into that basket. You're losing a lot of that depth. Giannis can say this all he wants, and he should say this. He should feel this way. I just don't want the narrative around the Bucks to run away and get out of whack, because the Bucks have done everything in their power. I think they've spent all the money. They've gone further into the luxury tax since winning their title. The Chicago Cubs play in a much larger market. They have their own TV network. They won a World Series and said, okay, we're going to let these guys go now. We're going to let them walk, or we're going to trade
them.
They've
done everything.
Bucks could have done that after winning a title. First time in 50 years, it would have been easy for the Bucks ownership group. They're not from here to say they got their ring. We delivered on our promise. We've rebuilt the stadium. We've rebuilt the district. We're not now going to dump millions and millions more into this team after we accomplished our goal by going to luxury tax. But they did, right? And then last year, they do everything possible. They scrounge up whatever they can to get Jay Crowder. Now they've hired Giannis's guy. The Bucks have held up their end of the bargain. And then some. And if you think they should have gone all in to acquire a different superstar, okay, I would tell you that that move wouldn't have given them better title odds than the odds they've had the last couple of years. There was an injury, and then Drew didn't play well. Giannis didn't play well against the Heat, right? And that's a tough reality. Players have bad series. And I don't necessarily hold that against Giannis. I'm still a massive Giannis fan. But then don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. Don't make this about the Bucks when I think the Bucks have done more than their end of the bargain. And they've done more than enough. So if Giannis leaves in 2 years at the end of this contract because the Bucks roster is old and they don't have any left, you know, moves left to make, I won't hold it against him. But let's not act like he hasn't had a great chance to win the last 5 years, because he absolutely has. And a lot of credit to the Bucks for that.
The problem is a couple things here that I point out. One is, so Jrue Holiday is extension eligible in February. Is he retiring? Does he want an extension?
Drew's not a Buck next year.
Okay. So then if you believe that, whether through retirement or a trade, or he actually makes it to free agency, which so few players do nowadays, if that's true, then that could be what Giannis is talking about. Now, we're obviously making the leap that he's talking about Damian Lillard being available or whatever else. But the Jrue Holiday situation is like, the end of February and all of March will be very, very uncomfortable if the Bucks are not extending Jrue Holiday.
That'll be the canary in the coal mine, as they say. I feel like I'm hearing that expression everywhere now in sports media. That will be, yes.
It is a very malleable term.
Ah, yes.
So that, to me, that is, you know, again, the Bucks know far, far, far more about Jrue Holiday's future than we all do, and whether that retirement comment once upon a time was real. Bart, the thing I'd push back against is when Giannis made that comment in 2017, he was 22. When he made that other comment, you read, he was 24. Like, he is clearly looking at to say, okay, all of my best players that I play with now are older than me. And by the way, acquiring Damian Lillard obviously wouldn't trade that fact. Like, that wouldn't change the fact that
The Bucks really should have found a way to keep his brothers rostered for the last four seasons. They really could.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I guess that, let me.
Giannis is, he's, he, I don't know why he keeps doing this. Maybe he feels like he needs to play a role. I'm sorry, man. You cried wolf too many times. There ain't no fucking wolf on the street. Okay.
So you're saying he's complaining about something that should not. There's not a complaint to be made, yet he's still making it.
I don't think there's a complaint to be made. Unless he's got an issue with Chris kind of lollygagging and coming back slowly last year and not really being in shape. If there's some issues.
Yeah, if anything, I thought the message was to the other players, not to John Horst. John Horst's job is not to win titles. It is to keep Giannis. That's it.
Well, one is directly tied to the other.
But, right.
But that's the main job he has.
And I think the Bucks have done it. With Ted Thompson, this is different. With Ted Thompson, and a lot of radio shows have brought this comparison, with Ted Thompson, you look back directly and said, could have done this, could have done that, could have done this, wouldn't have cost an arm and a leg, wouldn't have been, you know, blowing his team to kingdom come and reinventing a roster. I can find nothing of the sort with John Horst. You could say could have done this, but I don't know that any of those could haves, should haves, would have given this team any better of a chance to win the title. Like, Kendrick Perkins said it on ESPN the other day, like, Jesus Christ, they were the one seed last year. Like, the Bucks have done what they could do.
In a series where Giannis didn't play 40% of it.
Yeah, yep. And when he did play, he had, I don't know. Giannis's injury
you
this
can't
last
be the,
year
You can't be
not,
the one to be the hurt one. You were the hurt one, and now you're saying everybody else needs to step up?
That injury.
Also, I'm not afraid if Giannis leaves. If Giannis leaves, then good luck. We got a great run out of him. I'll survive.
Grant, you go, and then I'm gonna. Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say, if Giannis leaves, I don't think it's gonna be the fault of anyone. I'm not gonna be angry at the Bucks for not.
You might just want to leave.
If you want to leave because it doesn't make sense, go off.
So then here's the part B to this. As Zach Lowe said, in his opinion, and again, just going to keep restating it. It wasn't said as like, oh, look, you know, let's create an aggregated article out of this comment. Like, it was not intended as that at all, in my opinion. He thinks, like, if this season doesn't go well, which Zach Lowe defined as losing in the conference finals, basically just not making the NBA finals constituting a failure, that Giannis's noise that he's making now would only grow next offseason, and that the Bucks would not, as Zach Lowe said, bury their head in the sand and would instead trade him. So, like, I don't even know if I have mm-hmm for that, but, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't
Giannis trade him. Is not getting traded.
I wouldn't trade him. And also,
the Angels would have rather had Shohei Ohtani be injured and leave the team early and be fucked for the next 4 years than trade Shohei Ohtani 2 months. The Milwaukee Bucks, it will never say traded Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know where Zach's getting this. I feel like as respected as these guys can be, anybody that doesn't follow the team day in and day out, their opinions are not, you don't have enough. You just don't have enough. You don't have enough. You're not here. You don't know.
You don't go to games. They don't go to games is what I meant.
We let them off the hook. All right. Don't you have to leave?
Yeah, I got like 4 or 5 minutes. This is a good one. This is a good app. This is chock full of analysis and takes. We wasted no time today.
Yeah.
Right into it.
Light on the humor. Light on the coughing, I think, was better.
Yeah,
I picked up at the end, but I muted myself.
You did.
Pronounce this word for me. T-O-U-R.
Tour.
Tour.
There's a lot of tour.
Whoa.
Stop making shit up.
I'm not.
Tour.
I feel
a
like
three-hour tour.
A three-hour
tour. Three-hour tour.
I'm telling you, tour is, I think, more common nationally than tour, which is stupid. How about this one? A-L-M-O-N-D.
Almond.
Almond.
Grant, what is your script?
I just said almond. Same as
Bart. Almond.
Almond.
Like
the Almond Brothers.
Andy Samberg in Brooklyn Nine-Nine would always say almond.
Almond.
But like not ironically or like in a silly way, just like that's how some.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people pronounce words differently. I don't know why it's always.
It's a fascinating thing for me. I could analyze like word pronunciations. I could do a whole show on it. Let's do it.
Let's do a separate podcast on the Bart Winkler Network, and it's on the BWN, and it's just Paul talking to linguists.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Like how Grant has a fetish with ships. Paul, you can talk to linguists and I'll host it on the channel.
Okay, so last one then. D-A-T-A.
Data. Data. Fuck. Data.
Data.
Data. Data.
No, what's the real answer?
Do you have that data?
Data.
I think I would say data.
Data.
I think I have probably said both. I'm going to go with data as the one I think I should say.
What's the data you have on that? What's the data? I'd say data.
Data.
All right.
This has been the Linguistic Hour on the Bart Winkler Network.
This was a pleasure as always, gentlemen. Thank you.
Not as pleasure as when you go to omahasteaks.com, type in Bart in the search bar. 50% off everything that they have and another $30 off with my code. Bart in the search bar at omahasteaks.com.